ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're serving as a ruling elder or a deacon in the church, but you also have almost a dozen other roles. Teacher, trainer, medic, writer, decorator, mechanic, coach, coordinator, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once. So let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, a ruling elder and a certified Christian educator serving within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly. And I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. I'm also excited today to talk about call in this episode as I am joined by Simon Doom. Welcome, Simon.
Thanks so much, Martha. It's great to be with you.
Simon is a podcaster himself and serves as co-host of the popular Matter of Faith podcast. So it's fun to have another podcast personality here today. Simon, what else would you like to tell our listeners about you?
Well, I'm associate with the Presbyterian Peacemaking Program. I've been with the Presbyterian Church USA as an employee since about mid to late 2018. And I was born and raised Presbyterian, but I always like to say I didn't really know what that meant until I served as a young adult volunteer through the Presbyterian Church. I served first in Daejeon, South Korea, and then at the Presbyterian Ministry at the United Nations, which is the denomination's UN advocacy office. And through those experiences, I think I learned more about what it really meant to be Presbyterian. And lo and behold, I didn't expect to be working for the church, but here I am still after those years.
It's good to get a little taste of some of your professional and some of your discernment life. As I mentioned, this is one of our call story episodes, a chance for our listeners to hear about discernment and to think about the ways that they might also be recognizing God's work in their own lives. So, Simon, let's jump right in. I think you've gotten us off on a good start. Can you tell us a little bit more about your story and how you've noticed God's movement in your life and in your ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I served as a young adult volunteer through the Presbyterian Church, and I did that. My first young adult volunteer year was, I did that about 2 years after I had graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just chose to do that because I had always wanted to serve in some capacity, such through a program such as the Peace Corps. So I wanted to serve internationally, but I thought it would be interesting to do it from a faith-based context because of obviously historical harms that have been perpetuated through things like colonialism and missionary work. I didn't really know how that would necessarily impact the work I would try to do as a volunteer, the ability to build relationships. Would it be helping and make it easier to build relationships, or to make it harder? And to be perfectly honest, the answer is kind of mixed, which is, I think, pretty fair. But I met a lot of great people, and I think I grew a lot of my own faith and learned a lot about how I see myself in the world, as well as, I always like to say, I learned how to ask better questions about God and about my own sort of worldview. And I've just sort of followed that kind of call to keep asking questions and keep looking for God. And well, I'm still with the church, so I have no regrets. I've enjoyed my journey so far.
Are there particular inspirations or spiritual practices that have helped you along the way? It sounds like asking questions certainly was one of the ways that you discern God's call. Are there other things you can identify?
Yeah. Well, along the lines of asking questions, I think the biggest question that I always kept running into, especially as an adult volunteer, and has continued since then, was I would always ask this question when bad things would happen about why God would let this to happen. Mm-hmm. And learned that really that's not the appropriate or correct question to be asking. We really should be asking, how is God at work amidst this, you know, terrible situation or tragedy? And so I've carried that with me in all of my work, personally and professionally. In terms of other practices, I believe music is a great way to be spiritual. And so I play the clarinet. I've played in church for the last, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years probably. I picked it up right before the pandemic and carried it. I'll say this, it helped carry me through the pandemic as well.
Wow. So you had never played before until...
I picked it back up is really what I should be saying. Yeah, I played elementary school through college and then took probably about 3 years away from it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to do this again. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, well, I got time.
Mm-hmm. I love that because I love that that's a great example of sort of a maybe what some would consider a regular activity, but became a spiritual practice for you based on what you needed at the time and being able to see God through it. I think some of our best spiritual practices come from what we need when we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also for me, I mean, I'm fortunate that I'm able to engage my faith pretty directly in the work that I do. So that includes, as you mentioned earlier, A Matter of Faith, a Presby podcast, which I think when you're able to have good intentional conversations about faith, justice, and church life, that is a pretty regular spiritual practice that challenges me and forces me to keep thinking and keeps me on my toes. And so I feel like I'm never able to completely stagnate, if that makes sense, because there's always some new question to ask. There's always someone to talk to. Someone says something, it's like, oh, I've never thought about this that way before.
Yeah, and I think one way that our listeners maybe could connect with that is as leaders in their local congregations is to look for those places for those regular conversations. Maybe it's in their session meetings, or maybe they're a part of a Bible study or a small group. Or if they don't have that access, maybe it's something that they can create. I know groups in my own congregation have formed around coffee or around, you know, some other sort of what might seem like a fellowship opportunity, but it's where some of those really deep theological conversations can come from.
Yeah. And I've also been a part of a young adult Bible study that met on Zoom pre-pandemic. I sort of joined at the start of the pandemic. And we would just meet once a week and pick a scripture verse from or passage from the lectionary. And we would go through it Lectio Divina style. So we would read the passage in one translation and then we would compare it to two others. Usually we were doing NIV, NRSV, and The Message, because we always have to see how Eugene Peterson would adapt the text. And we would just pick a scripture verse from that particular passage that stood out to each of us, and we would just follow it through those three translations, and we would just talk about the things that we noticed. And it always led to some really interesting conversations and really insightful. And I think that's been a good practice. It's been a bit harder now that we are we're not out of COVID, but now that more things have opened up and picked up, people's time is a little bit more crunched. But that was something that I also really appreciate and I hope to come back to at some point.
Well, and that method is intriguing because it doesn't use an expert who's trying to interpret it for us, but instead it's how God is speaking to us right in this moment. Again, what we might need at a particular time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice because you really just get to hear how people relate the scripture passage to their own lives in that moment, maybe even that day, which is something you don't always get from a prepared sermon that is, you know, written or prepared a day or two or even earlier in the week. There's something very nice about hearing the relation between the text and someone's personal experience in real time.
My guess is that it forms community as well, because you're hearing somebody else's perspective, what they heard, that may not have maybe totally different from what you heard. And then you get to know them a little bit better and it forms that kind of relationship as well.
Yeah, it's a great chance to build relationships, like you said, and build community.
One of the things that I know that you and I share, which may also be the case with, I would guess, quite a few of our listeners, is that we felt called to serve the church, but not as an ordained minister. And my own sense of call for most of my life was to education rather than to word and sacrament. I've served in several congregations and now with the Office of the General Assembly. And that was a really conscious decision. Like, I never felt God calling me to that ministry of word and sacrament to go to seminary and become a pastor, where there are things in your own discernment related to that, serving the church, but in a different way that are important to you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I should say, if anyone is familiar with the Young Adult Volunteer Program, many YAVs go on to go to seminary or become pastors. And that was a common question people would ask me. It's like, oh, are you going to seminary? When are you going to seminary? Which seminary are you going to? And I would always say, you know, I'm not really convinced that I feel called to do that. Part of that is because there are certain aspects of just my own, I think my own gifts and weaknesses and personality that I'm like, I'm not totally convinced that being a pastor would be the way that I need to serve the church. And I think one example is, I'll just be perfectly honest, I don't want to officiate someone's funeral. I don't want to be the person that's called to do that. I think mm-hmm. that it would break me. Mm. And now that doesn't mean you can't be called to do something that will challenge you and force you to grow. But that, I just saw, that was something that I knew about myself and I was pretty sure about. But even outside of that, I always felt that I could serve the church through other kinds of skills. If I do choose to go to grad school, I think I would probably more likely get an MBA or a master's of public policy. And that could be really helpful in a church setting. I think I know where I feel called to be, and not necessarily going to seminary or being a pastor, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be on a session or supporting and providing expertise or experience and insights in other aspects of the church life.
Yeah, I think one of the big connections with those who are serving as ruling elders and as deacons is that the church needs all these different gifts. And so what would the church be like if we were all pastors? But the church needs folks who have gifts and skills and knowledge in all these other areas as well, but also feel called to Christianity and all that we're called to through Jesus and all the service there.
Yeah, in the same way that when we think about a lot of the important historical pushes for justice, mm-hmm. just in the U.S., if not even more broadly, such as the civil rights movement, the faith community was very important there, but not everyone is going to be out on the front lines marching all the time. Mm-hmm. There are people that need help disseminating information, logistics, there's printing things, there's speaking opportunities, there's making connections with other folks in the community. There are so many aspects to it. You don't need to have one specific skill set to be useful or to feel like you're a member of that community. And I think that's pretty beautiful that we can all bring something and still be a part of the body.
Right. And I think it's probably also helpful to highlight the fact that our call isn't all just about what we want, but it's the call of God and the call of the community and where those needs really are and how all those things come together. Really important stuff for us to be thinking about.
Yeah. And it's sometimes hard with that call because you might be called to something that you're not comfortable with already. And that's mm-hmm. like a hard thing to wrestle with. It's not always easy. And I say that and probably, oh, when are you going to get that call to go to seminary? And I still haven't felt it. I'll let you know if that changes. But what you say is very true. It's not always calling you in the same direction that you think you're already headed.
Right. Yeah. And how many biblical figures we know for whom that was true, that God was calling them to something that they didn't really actually want to do.
Yeah. Lots of great examples.
Yeah. Simon, as you think about our listeners, specifically deacons and ruling elders, what would you like them to know about call and discernment? Or what do you hope they would know and remember from our conversation?
I think, one, to remember that call, like we said, and discernment is not always going to take you in the direction that you expect. It's not always going to come at the time that you expect either. You might have a very specific idea of who you are and what you do and what you will do. And just have an open mind to having that be challenged or uprooted a little bit. And that's okay. And it's also okay to have a lot of feelings about it when you recognize that you do feel that sense of call. I think also we don't thank and appreciate our deacons and ruling elders enough. And I think that that's something that needs to be said because they do so much work for the church because the pastor is not the church. And so we need to be really mindful of the time and the effort that our deacons and ruling elders put in. And similarly, on the flip side, I think when we're talking about call and trying to be involved in the life of the church, that because the pastor is not the church, it means that there is a role for deacons and ruling elders to play. And that involves responsibility. It does involve some time commitment. But hopefully that can be navigated in a way that's intentional so that it isn't purely a burden, but is truly a call to serve such that people are bringing their own gifts and their hearts and also being willing to be challenged as well, which is a lot to ask of someone if you think about it.
Yeah, I say amen to all of that. And with that, I'm so happy to have had this chance for this rich conversation. Simon, thank you for joining us and for being willing to share your part of your story with us. There's a lot more of your story to come, and I look forward to seeing how God will continue to use you. But in the meantime, thankful for your ministry and what we can learn from it. And we'll be sure to post a link to your podcast, Matter of Faith, the Presby podcast, as part of our notes as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Martha. And thank you to your amazing audience for tuning in for this conversation. And I hope that people found something helpful or inspirational to take away from it.
And with that, we hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.